Good morning, everyone, and welcome. We're delighted that you're with us this Sunday, which is Vision Sunday 2020. Over the course of the last 4 weeks, here's what we've been doing. We've been discussing vision and its importance to one's physical and spiritual life and eyesight. We talked about blindness, which means no sight. We talked about being nearsighted, only seeing that which is close up. We talked about being farsighted, only seeing things clearly at a distance. And last week we talked about hindsight, only seeing things clearly after the fact. Now, as we all know, 2020 vision is considered perfect vision, which is the ability to see things clearly at a distance, as well as those things which are close at hand. Now, for those of you that are joining us this morning for the very first time, a very special welcome to each and every one of you. We're so glad that you are here this morning. And I believe what I'm about to share this morning will help you, along with our regular members and attendees, to understand the vision, the values of this particular congregation. What I'll be sharing this morning is somewhat like the President's annual State of the Union address. I just hope no one's behind me tearing up my scripts. Some refer to it as the state of the church. So this morning, what we're going to do is we're going to take a good look at who we are, where we're at, and where we're going. And then tonight is our annual business meeting, so we're building upon this evening what we're going to be saying this morning. So this morning, I'll be sharing the values that guide us and the vision that drives us. Every word that we say this morning, every word you see on the screen, has particular meaning and importance to us. So we're going to be talking about the values that guide us and the vision that drives us. Nearly 20 years ago, a team comprised of both individuals from our pastoral staff as well as laypersons were commissioned by this congregation to examine our spiritual DNA. Just what is it that makes us who we are, and what we strive to be, and how can we protect that DNA in our lives? You know, values are the ideas and principles that govern the way we behave, communicate, and interact with one another. It all comes out of our values. Someone has said, values then are non-negotiable. Values represent the very things in life that we're willing to die for. Vision, on the other hand, and strategies, plans, they all change. They change from time to time to adapt to the current culture and the present needs of a changing culture. Values, however, they remain unchanged. So beliefs, then, guide our values. Values guide our actions. I think most of us will remember this name. It's Roy Disney from the Disney family that gave us, you know, the theme parks and the movies and all of this. Roy Disney said this: it's not hard to make decisions once you know what your values are. Think about that in your own life. Once you know what your values are, what you value most in life, decisions beyond that become rather important. I think most of us would say, well, we value our life, we value our family, we value our jobs, we value all of these things, and of course, our relationship with God. And so once we know what our values are, it's rather easy to make decisions. Now, this team that I talked about just a few moments ago that was commissioned to find out what our DNA was all about here at this church, they went to work and they summarized for us our core values in an acrostic. And this acrostic we call the DREAM. Let's look at it quickly. First of all, we said that we value here as one of our core values a dynamic lifestyle of worship. We just came out of a moment of having a time with God, one-on-one. Though we were corporately together worshiping, each one of us, we all had our own relationship conversation going on with God. And during that time, that was our worship. But we were not just talking about any kind of worship. We're talking about dynamic, which means it's always changing, it's always growing. So a dynamic lifestyle of worship, one of our core values. We also said that we value relationships that are devoted to unity, because we believe God does most in all that he can do through those who unify one with another. And so we make that one of our core values. We also believe in being empowered through biblical training. We'll talk about the importance of that in just a few moments. We also believe in active ministry involvement. We believe the individual that becomes involved in ministry is the one that's going to stay on the growing edge, and every day of their life is going to be filled with brand new excitement as they're involved in the work of God. So active ministry involvement. And we have said our mission is declared to be a mission to reach our world for Christ. So we call that living the dream. If you look at the acrostic there, the D-R-E-A-M. I remind you once again this morning that I was at Marquette University, and I was over at the law school, and I was on an elevator. And as I got on the elevator, there was a young attorney that got on board with me. And this young attorney asked me the question, well, who are you? What you doing here? A few things like that. And as the door closed, he said, tell me, then what do you believe as a pastor? And I started to tell him, and the elevator was going up, and I believe we got to approximately the fifth floor. Doors opened, and he turned around, and I was still talking. He was departing. He says, let me give you a bit of advice. If you can't tell me in five floors what you believe, then you don't know. I came back to the church licking my wounds, gathered the staff together, and I said, you know, we have to get so we can define what we believe and what our core values are, and to be able to do so rather easily. And so that's where the dream was born, out of this commission, out of this group that we said, we want you to study our DNA, begin to define who we are, what makes us who we are. Our mission statement then came out of this, and our mission statement simply states, reaching our world for Christ as we lead individuals to discover and become who God created them to be. Friends, there's nothing more exciting than to introduce an individual to Jesus Christ and then see the Lord show them the very purpose for their being. And as it begins to unfold in their life, it's like an amazing brand new revelation. It's like the lights finally come on. Now I know why I'm on planet Earth. I know where I came from. I know what I'm here for. I know what my accomplishments ought to be when life is accomplished and finished. And so it all comes out of reaching our world for Christ. So it's a big, all over the globe, all 7.5 billion of us, reaching our world for Christ. How? As we lead individuals, it all comes down to the individual. You know, many times, if we're not careful, we'll get so caught up in the 7.5 billion that we fail to recognize the world is really no bigger than the person standing directly in front of us with eye-to-eye contact. And so when we get overwhelmed, many times when we're overwhelmed, we do nothing. And so in our mission statement, we're literally saying we're going to reach our world for Christ as we lead individuals, one-on-one, to discover and become who God created them to be. It's exciting when you let individuals know that God created them with a purpose and a plan, and that they're eternal, and that God has an eternal plan for their life. All of this comes out of, then, our mission statement. So our vision, then, is global. Someone asked me one time, Pastor, when do you believe that your job is done? I said, not until everyone everywhere knows that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and there's no way to the Father except through him. And that's in all nations, all places, all villages, no matter where we're located. So our vision is global, and yet it is individual, as we lead individuals to discover. Since coming to this congregation back in 1979, which is before some of you were born, our mission to raise up a balanced local church in the city of Oak Creek has not changed. And if you look at that statement, it's filled again. Each word has got a meaning behind it. Our mission, then, is to raise up a balanced local church. Friends, we believe that God is a God of balance, and that what he does is imbalance. And we all see individuals, we see corporations, we see nations of the world that get out of balance. It is our desire to raise up in this community a balanced local church in the city of Oak Creek, Wisconsin, which impacts Southeast Wisconsin and the world. A balanced church in the city of Oak Creek, which impacts not only this city, but the cities roundabout in Southeast Wisconsin, and not only here, but through our missions outreach around the world. Furthermore, it has been our mission to develop a state-of-the-art campus which meets the needs of all ministry departments. You know, financially, when you think about finances of this congregation, it has been our goal to become debt-free and remain debt-free, with the exception of major acquisitions and or major expansions that we may undertake at some time now or in the future. But other than that, it is our goal to be debt-free and to stay that way. And I would say to you this morning, thanks be to God, we are debt-free. We set the long-term goal quite a few years ago of funding our capital depreciation, waiting and praying for the day that our debt would be gone, and that we would not only be, you know, looking towards, you know, the immediate moment, just the near side financially, but we'd be looking on the far side of that as well. So we'd be both nearsighted and farsighted. And the long-term goal of funding our capital depreciation, and that was then avoiding both the financial pressure of unexpected expenses and deferred maintenance. I think all of us, you know, we realize what it takes to keep up our home. I was talking to my wife a few days ago, and I was saying, you know, since we bought our home back in 1970, let's see, 89. I know it would come. 1989, since we purchased our home in 89, and it was a rather quick purchase because our home was being tore down here on the site to make room for the building of the chapel. And so we bought our home back 1989. And since that time, when you look at the amount of money we put into roof and windows and new furnace and air conditioning and carpets and doors and, you know, all this and concrete work, all this stuff that over the years, my home is 64 years old. And so over the years of 64 years, if you did nothing to prepare for the future, it would catch you off guard. And so it was our determination many years ago that when we were able, we began to fund depreciation. Here's what that means. As a roof, as an example, or electronic equipment in our building, as these things, every day as they get a little bit older, they become a little less valuable. And as they become less valuable, there's going to be a time when they'll need to be replaced. And so rather than just waiting, hoping somewhere down the road that there'd be money or that you would somehow be able to raise it amongst the congregation, we decided rather than living that way, we would take, and as we know, a particular item is going to depreciate at a certain level, whether it's over 50 years on a building or 20 years or 10 years, and some things is five, like computers and other things that are high tech. They will be depreciated out in a much, much quicker way. But as we do so, we decide we'll put aside a dollar for every dollar that we know is going to depreciate, so that when we need to put on a roof, there'll be money for a roof. When there's need for air conditioning and heating units. Do you know how many heating units and air conditioning units we have on this building? Anyone? Pastor Tonto would probably answer that. 12 is your answer? 96. How many know what it's like to keep one furnace running? Okay. All right, that's me, like that's my home, that's the environment most of us live in. We have 96 HVAC units of one sort or another all throughout the building, on the roof, inside, and so on. Last summer, we had to spend $131,000 replacing units now that are reaching 20 years old. But guess what? Did I come to you on a Sunday morning and say, we need to place, you know, money into the offering above what we normally do today so we can replace the HVAC units? We did not, because we have been funding depreciation. You understand what I'm talking about? And I believe that that is the safe and best way. We just lost a major campus. We just lost a major campus of ours in Springfield, Missouri, due to what is called this deferred maintenance. Over $20 million is what it would suddenly cost now because they were not addressing these items. And the campus had to be ultimately sold off because it would cost too much to repair it. And we've always wanted to stay ahead of that. How many believe that's a good idea? As a testimony to our community, I want you to know that we share this God-given facility with other nonprofits and governmental entities. Oak Creek Assembly of God is investing in our community by sharing what God has blessed us with here. The Oak Creek Police Department, they do training here. Wisconsin law enforcement, they come from all over this region, and they've had their training and they've had their seminars right here. The City of Oak Creek school system, they come and they do their annual training every single fall as they get ready for a brand new school year right here at Oak Creek Assembly of God. The City of Oak Creek Health Department uses our facility. The Southeast Wisconsin Emergency Medical Distribution is set up so that if there was a catastrophic event and there needed to be an immediate distribution of a particular, you know, medication, this is the site, this is where people would come. Southeast Wisconsin Summer Community Cooling Center, for those that are aged and many times are dying because of the heat within their apartments, we have gone online and we have made this church available so that they can come and not die, you know, of exposure inside of those heated apartments or even during the cold times of winter. The City of Oak Creek, that's right, we do that on your behalf. And the City of Oak Creek Aldermatic Polling Center is right here at Oak Creek Assembly of God. And I met a lady, it was last Sunday, and she said, you know, the first time I was ever in the building is when I came to vote. And she said, I was a little taken back coming to a church to vote. And here's how that happened. Pastor John was in communication with the schools, and the schools were getting concerned all across the area, not only in Oak Creek, but all across the area, of on polling day, while their students are in classes, that there are men and women, people of all age, all over, coming into their building, not knowing fully their intent with all those children being present. And so as a result of that, they began to think, maybe we should take the polling out of, you know, the schools and put it into a place where there can be a controlled environment, a safe environment. And so polling took place. And she said to me, she said, I've never been in a church to do that. She said, ever since then, when I walked in, I decided this is going to be my church. And so I met her last Sunday, and there she was. There'll be polling taking place this coming Tuesday for the Aldermatic section of Oak Creek right here. And the City of Milwaukee Police Department, I believe all of us have seen as, you know, it breaks our heart to see those that have been on the front lines protecting our city, officers that have been killed in the line of duty. We've opened up our facilities. There was more than 4,000 police officers in this building at one time. You know what? It was the safest place on planet Earth. We open up our facilities to the Department of Transportation, I-94 plan review. Now, why am I saying all of this? Because on your behalf, as men and women that love God, have invested in this work of God here at 7311 South 13th Street, we have taken what belongs to the body of Christ here, and we've said, we want to bless our community. And that is what we're about. It's also our desire not only to share our facilities, but to connect the church to the community. And we participate in the following activities. Some have been part of it, maybe not. This upcoming year, you should be. The 4th of July parade, not only here, but in Franklin and other cities as well. We're out there and we're just loving on people and sharing what we can in the 4th of July parades. The Oak Creek Night Out. You know, Night Out is a nationwide undertaking. It's whereby men and women come together in their cities, generally within their own locale. And what they'll do is they'll have a moment there whereby they're just getting together, and it's at night. And they're going to watch over each other, watch over the kids, have a fun time together. And it's a way of saying, our city is not going to surrender to the thugs. This city belongs to God. This city is our city, and we're going to protect our city. And so we send out our teams to the Oak Creek Night Out. I was downtown, and I was at a meeting of some officials for the city, the county, and the state. And I had a judge come up to me, and this judge said, you know, I just want to, you know, talk to you for a moment. If you're the pastor of the Oak Creek Assembly of God Church, I met so many of your people at Oak Creek Night Out. He said, everyone I talked to was such a servant. Everybody had such a joy. Everyone had something, you know, so exciting going on in their life. He said, I want to come, and I want to check out that church one of these soon Sundays. And it was all over being out there in the middle of a park on a night when our community gathered together and said, this is our community, and we stand right alongside of them. You know, the Christmas tree lighting at City Center. You know, we had our children there. They had just come out of their series on Frozen, and so they had their Frozen, you know, costumes and so on. And there at the city tree lighting was our group again. And the pictures were taken by the Oak Creek Police Department, the fire department, and by others there just saying, thank you for coming and bringing your presence to the center of our city. The children's musical that we so enjoy in-house here at Christmas time. They also take that over to the Centennial Senior Apartments, to all these adults and these seniors that are, many of them, they're homebound and they're unable to get out. We take our children's choir over there. And let me tell you, I hear such wonderful things. People just blessed. You know, one time a guy came up to me, and I've heard it even again this past week. They said, you know, it is such a joy to have these children come, because I'm not around children any longer. I don't hear their laughter. I don't see their smiles. I don't see their little naughty ways. I don't see any of this. I spend my time with old people all the time. And so we take the kids out, and we take them right to where they're at. We bring the musical to them. So I want you to know what you saw here of 100-and-some kids on this platform. They took them over to the Centennial. And that's another way that we try to engage into our community. Pastor John serves on the Oak Creek School Curriculum Committee, all the curriculum that's chosen for our school system. He sits on that committee. Once again, we want to pour into this city. You know, dedication ceremonies, which some of us probably take for granted, of local businesses and corporations, you know, we go and we do that as well. Some of you, you drive by over here off from Layton Avenue and over off from Howell. There's the United Airlines Maintenance Center. And one of the individuals that helped build that center and get everything all set up, and he's now been transferred to another site. He said, Pastor, would you be willing to come and dedicate the maintenance center? And so when I arrived over there, the head of the airport systems were there. The county people were all there. The governor was there. So many were there. And he said, I want you to pray, and I want you to dedicate this place to God. And so there I was amongst all these others, airplanes on all sides, and I had the privilege of praying, blessing that place. And I did so on your behalf and for the work of the kingdom. Amen. On 76th Street in Rawson, they opened up a brand new Hampton Inn Hotel. And guess what? Once again, they said, you know, we want you to come and pray over this place, that all that happens here will be safe, and that, you know, it'll be God-honoring. And so, once again, on your behalf, we were there, and we blessed that hotel. Amen. There's a brand new park in the city of Oak Creek. It's called Veterans Memorial Park. It's one that is dedicated to all the veterans that have served in all the various areas of service. And again, they called and they said, will you come and will you dedicate? And so surrounded by all the state officials, government officials, and all of the representatives of the military, I was able to pray in that park as we dedicated it and what it represents, all the men and women that have served and are serving all over the world. And we did that for you and on your behalf. Our desire is, as a congregation, that we'd never become an island, but rather we would become, part of our community in every way. Now, internally, it is our desire to establish effective in-house ministries for every age and stage of life, newborn through the senior citizen. And as a result of that, we have a program in place that we intentionally hand off individuals one to the other, just as, when my children, my grandchildren, were much smaller than they are right now. And I think that all of us as parents and grandparents, we know the world is these kids. And how, when we hold them, I am so much more careful driving with my grandchildren than I ever was with my kids. When I hand them off, I do so. I want to make sure they're safely, in the hands, either my daughter-in-law or my sons-in-law, or, I just want to make sure that they're safely in their hand, that nothing happens in the handoff. And so what we do is we make sure from the nursery to the crawlers, that's the ones that's just beginning to crawl, over to the preschool, from the preschool to the elementary, from the elementary to the junior high, from the junior high to the senior high, from the senior high to the crossroads, and the list would go on and on. We safely want to pass them from one ministry to the next because we want no one to slip away. We want no one to fall. And so it's intentional. That is part of what we do as our ministry from newborn through seniors. The systematic study of God's word is paramount to this church. The Bible tells us, study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now that is a command that is given to all of us as Christians. That is not a command given to the preacher. And I'm held to an account and to a responsibility to know God's word, to share God's word, to know the full counsel of God, and to share it in an effective way. However, the Bible says we all have a responsibility to know God's word. Study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The psalmist says this, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. The Bible tells us the word is like a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And so the Bible commands us, gives us this instruction. And to that end, the systematic study of God's word is paramount in all that we do here at Oak Creek Assembly of God. Sunday morning study groups. These study groups were formerly known as Sunday school. And then as Pastor Tom began to discuss and look at, with others, how do they perceive, the term Sunday school? And they were seeing it through the eyes of a child. Sunday school in its origination started over in England. You might not know this, but it was on Saturday mornings. People would get up and the kids were out of school for the day, and they were just rip-roaring and tearing the whole town apart. And so they got together, a bunch of religious leaders there just outside of London, and said, what can we do on Saturday morning to train these children in a setting, in a way that will benefit them for a lifetime and get them off the streets and out of trouble? And so Sunday school was literally born. And so Sunday school many times had the connotation that it was for children. Well, I'm adult, and therefore there's nothing for me. Friend, I want you to know we offer, I don't know the exact number, Pastor, but it's like 30-some adult classes so that you might glean not only the information, but the spirit of the Word of God into your heart and your life. And so Sunday morning Bible studies, these groups are absolutely, they're so exciting. We have some of the finest teachers in the world. And I say that with all sincerity. I sit in some of their classes when I am not personally teaching myself. And friends, I want you to know, having gone through higher education, it's amazing. Our teachers put the best of the best into it. Wednesday night clubs for our boys and for our girls, Royal Rangers and girls ministries. You know, Wednesday morning Bible study, we started a Bible study on Wednesday morning back in 1982. Here's why. People were coming to me, and especially individuals that were working over here at Delphi and AC Spark Plug. And as they would come in, AC and Delphi, they would say, you know, I'd love to be part of the Wednesday night Bible study, but I have to work, you know, various shifts. Either the third shift, so I'm just getting off, or, you know, I've got to be at work during the time when Wednesday night. So we said, we'll solve that. We'll start a morning opportunity. So we have morning groups to study God's Word every single Wednesday, and that is led by Pastor Tom. On Wednesday night, we've got Crossroads. We've got Life Together. We've got Impacto. Friends, I'm excited for what God is doing. Impacto, last year, averaged on Wednesday night 170. They're already up to 230 average for this year. And all of our other ministries, we're seeing this exponential growth in their lives and in their ministries as well. Wednesday night, we also offer specialized groups. We began to look, and we began to see a community that was losing loved ones and did not know where to turn. They were going to depression, and if they weren't going to depression, they were going to drugs or going to, you know, to the bottle, so to say. And we thought, what can we do to minister to people where their hearts are broken, they do not know where to turn? And so we started Grief Share. And I want you to know, Grief Share is an exciting ministry, and it's led by people that have been right where those that are coming are now. They've lost children, they've lost loved ones, they've lost a mate. They know what it is like to navigate through that season and time of life. And so now they're teaching. They're also involved in Financial Peace University. Financial Peace University, I asked how many this morning had gone through it in the first service, and it was amazing how many had. Do you realize that they have reduced the debt of several million dollars out of everyone that's gone through that particular class? It's amazing. And my own daughter came to me this past week and was saying, you know, Financial Peace University, as she tries to make her way around on Wednesday nights to all the groups that she is responsible for, which is Grief Share and Financial Peace and Arise and Healing Path. And she said, you know, I learned this week, and she was just sharing some of the financial insights. You know, if you always spend everything that you make, you're always going to be just kind of always treading waters, you know, financially. And that's no place to be. And in Financial Peace University, they talk about how to get out of debt, how to stay out of debt. And they have literally reduced the debt of individuals that have gone through it from just our congregation of over several million dollars. Can we say praise God for that? We've also started a brand new single moms ministry. And it's so that single moms can have a time of fellowship. You know, they've got a dual role and dual responsibility, and we want to come alongside of them and help them. And so it's fellowship and encouragement. You'll need to know more about that. See Pastor Stephanie, she'll help you out. It's our mission to set out to establish a fun and exciting spiritual environment for our junior and senior high students to grow spiritually, emotionally, and socially. Notice those three components: spiritually, emotionally, or socially. Any one of those three components, that's body, soul, and spirit in many ways, any component that's missing will become troublesome at some point, whether it's the spiritual dimension, the emotional, or the social. We want to raise up a generation of young men and women that know God, they're emotionally stable, and they're not at the wind of all the winds that blow against them emotionally, from depression to discouragements and all of that, how to overcome it all, and that they're able to socially communicate with the culture in which they must live. That is our Wednesday youth ministry. Good job, Steve, of raising up your own group to give you applause. You know, friends, we work tirelessly to provide special invite opportunities for all of you so that you can invite your friends, co-workers, and neighbors to experience God and introduce them to the ministries of this church. To that end, we have our Christmas musical, which approximately 15,000 persons were at. The Easter musical, which is about 9,000. Celebrate Freedom, about 3,000. Illustrated sermons. All of these we give and we produce, and we do this on your behalf because we understand that many times it takes a special moment, a special activity for a friend that maybe you've talked to many times about coming and experiencing what takes place here. Therefore, we try to give you these special opportunities. You know, also upcoming, we've got some incredible events that are going to take place. Coming up on April the 19th, we've got the Christian comedian Nazareth coming. You know, Nazareth is one that God has used, and he's using in a phenomenal way with these crusades all over the nation, but especially in California. And he does these comedy acts, but let me tell you, when it's all done, they will not only have a great time laughing, they will enjoy this guy that grew up in Israel. That's hence his name is Nazareth. He's hilarious. You'll love him. But he will also make sure your friends have an opportunity to respond to the love of Jesus Christ. Danny Gokey is going to be with us on May the 14th. That's right. Those are events that you can invite friends and loved ones to. The Watutu Children's Choir from Kampala, Uganda is going to be with us on May 17th. These kids will absolutely steal your heart. And they're going to bless you like you've never been blessed before. That's coming up on May 17th. Vin Baker, those of you that know Vin is the Milwaukee Bucks assistant coach. He's going to be with us preaching here on Father's Day, June 21. I'm just praying that the Bucks will continue to allow him to come that day. That's coming right down to the wire. And Lieutenant Colonel Damon Friedman is going to be with us once again on Freedom Weekend. That is on June the 28th. And he's going to be telling the rest of the story. If you remember his story from the last time, he was, you know, involved in a number of the wars that have taken place in the last few years, or at least conflicts. And he told about the divine intervention of God. When he returned home, he discovered that returning back to the United States, having been involved in such heavy combat, there was flashbacks. His family, of course, had a difficult time dealing with some of this, as he was as well. And he wanted to come back. He said, you know, I want you to hear the rest of the story. I want you to see how God restored. He said it was much more difficult coming home than it was to go to war. The things I experienced and the difficulty of once again getting into the main line, the mainstream of culture and society back in the United States. So he'll be sharing, and again, that's upcoming on June 28. Now, friends, it's our desire to position this church for multi-site ministry. Multi-site ministry is this. What is happening right here at this very moment can, with electronic capabilities, as well as all the wonderful preachers we have on staff. I want you to know we are blessed. We've got a team of pastors and leaders here that I want to share with the greater Milwaukee area. And so what we're going to be doing, we're looking at multi-site ministry. Multi-site is this, one church that is located in various locations. And so it's a ministry that I believe can be a great blessing to the greater Milwaukee area. Now, to accomplish some of this, there's several things that we're going to need to do. And by the way, the average church that starts multi-campus right now, I was just at some training just a week ago, is 3.71, so it's almost 4. So most churches of our size, matter of fact, the starting point to have these other multi-site locations of ministry taking place simultaneously. That whole movement has started to the point that the average church is about 1,000 when they began to start these other campuses. And I believe that God is going to allow us to start some things. You know, one of the things they do, they call it is a pop-up campus, which means, and we'll train you, we're going to help you, we'll get you everything you need. You're going to be able to go into any place you want and suddenly pop up, just like they have pop-up stores. You're going to be able to be there with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and with all the resource and with all the benefits, all that this church can offer is standing right alongside of you. And so there's so much that can be done. And so in order to accomplish this, there's several things need to be done. We'll talk about them further tonight in the formal meeting of the business meeting. But a primary name change of the church is going to probably be necessary to allow for universal branding. You know, we are called the Oak Creek Assembly of God. And by that title, just like at one time, it was Kenosha First Assembly of God, it was Waukesha First Assembly of God, Brookfield Assembly of God, all of it just kind of goes on and on and on. Nearly all have changed so that they can identify with other communities. It's pretty hard to be Oak Creek Assembly of God in the North Shore. It's hard to be, you know, in various locations with the same name. So we're going to be investigating how we can best identify with all the various communities. For example, one name, and this has not been a chosen name. It will not be chosen until a committee is formed. Pastor John will be working with a committee of people that would like to be on the committee. If you want to be on this committee, let him know. He'd love to have you part of it as we begin to plan for multi-site, but also as we begin to look at how can we brand a name that will mean something in Greenfield and Greendale and Green, you know, all of these places, and then the South Burbs and all over, so that we can identify one church, one name that is now in various locations doing the same thing, exalting the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, leading men and women to Christ, and seeing the salvation of the lost. Live streaming capabilities are going to have to be upgraded to accomplish this as well. And we'll be talking more about that. We need the equipment that we now have is 19 years old, and it is what is called analog. And analog does not speak to, you know, the digital age. And so we're going to be looking at upgrading so that we can, what is going on simultaneously here, this is happening in various places all around the United States, our own city and around the world, we can all participate together. Matter of fact, while we're here this morning, during this service, there will be people in Saudi Arabia, there will be in Afghanistan, there will be in Germany, there will be in Belgium, they will be in, I can't even go through them all, we'll share on a screen tonight some of the places where people are consistently tuning in and being part of our services. And one of the complaints they're giving is, number one, that our analog does not speak well to their digital. And so you can imagine, if you had a cell phone that was 19 years old, if your television was 19 years old, if, you know, some of the high-tech areas, you just know they don't communicate with this new digital age. And so we're going to be looking at upgrading. And the geographic campus teams will be established, trained, and sent out to make a difference for Jesus Christ. We're excited about that. Our website is being totally overhauled, become more user-friendly and informative. Approximately 60% of all the people that look for a church, they start their journey and their search on the web. And so we want to make sure that our presence there is up to date, that it's friendly, and that it's informative. The sanctuary and the ancillary spaces, including this room we're sitting in right now, and out in the foyer and the associated classrooms, they need some minor updating, the carpets and flooring replacements, which we will be addressing. LED lighting, we started on the parking lot. You know, that's one of the things that I've heard so many good reports from. People saying, I can now see on the parking lot. We added so many more lumens to it, and here's what the deal is. That will pay for itself in 3.7 years. And so we find already that it's going to reduce, and it's reducing our costs, as we move along. The energy saving is, you know, substantial, and we'll be doing some of that on the interior as well. Now, friends, as we close out here, one of our top priorities is the expansion of our U.S. and world missions involvement as a result to praying, to giving, and to going. We have a team that I believe is returning, or did they return yesterday? They just landed. Okay. We have a team that's just coming back from Argentina. Pastor Tom stopped in, I think it was Uruguay or somewhere, on his way back, so he got home last night or yesterday afternoon. Our teams are going around the world. We're praying, we're giving, we're going. Let me give you a figure. Over the course of the last 14 years, and I say 14 years only because the General Council of the Assemblies of God, which keeps the records on missions giving, only keeps it for a short period of time. So in the past 14 years, this congregation, okay, drum roll, everyone. Okay, drum roll. All right. Come on, loosen up. $7,071,977 given to world missions. The last 3 years alone, every single year for 3 years in a row now, we've given over $1 million to world missions to help people know Jesus Christ around the world. BGMC, how many parents know what BGMC is? The kids with their little barrels, Boys and Girls Missionary. It used to be Crusade, it's now something else. Challenge, Boys and Girls Challenge. You know what our kids have given in those little barrels they come and beg you for? Last year they gave $10,000. So that kids, boys and girls around the world can have a Bible. They can have, you know, the message of Christ. Our youth department set an all-time record in Speed the Light this past year, giving more. Here's the number, giving more than $30,000. Now here's an interesting side note. You just saw the number of 7,071,977 the last 14. BGMC for the last year of 10,000. Speed the Light, 10,000. 1979, that is the first year that I came to this church, the total annual missions giving for the entire church was $2,647. Aren't you glad for what God has done? Amen. Now, friends, I want you to know from the depths of my heart, you're an amazing congregation. For 40 years, we have prayed together, we have dreamt together, we have labored together, we have sacrificed together, and God has blessed our combined labors. The Apostle Paul, as he wrote to the Church of Corinth, he says it this way, I planted the seed in your hearts, and Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important that God makes the seed grow. The one who plants and the one who waters works together with the same purpose, and both will be rewarded in their own for their own hard work. Friends, I declare to you this morning, the best is yet to come. Hallelujah. Thank God for what he has done. But the best is yet to come. Let's stand together. And let's just take a moment and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for guiding us in the years gone by. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be a part of our city. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to come alongside hurting families who have lost loved ones. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us into the decision makers' offices. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to take this gospel, Lord, to 19 to 20 different locations all throughout the year through our missions outreaches, some near, some far. Thank you, Lord, for each team that has gone this year and those that are on their way and teams that have already taken off for this year. Lord, bless, we pray. God, we want to make a difference. Lord, we want to make a difference in our city, our state, our nation, around this world. And you have allowed us to sow lots of seed. Thank you, Lord, for every time we see the light come on and someone discovers who God created them to be. Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd show us, Lord, what else you want for us in this community, in the greater Milwaukee, in Southeast Wisconsin, in our nation, and Father, around the world. Lord, I pray as we talk tonight in our annual business meeting about some of the steps we'll need to take. Father, we thank you that you have provided for us not only the vision, but you're providing for us all along the way. Lord, the resourcing. Lord, we're so glad you're our resource and that you are the God that never fails. I pray now, Lord, that in these next few moments, Lord, you just remind us of all that you have done and what you're going to complete. And as you begin to think about that, worship team, lead us.